This is a replay of the Tuesday night, July 2nd WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central if sports don't preempt us. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip for the world's best customer service. It's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
James, we have 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, as I was saying, it'll be on mine, whatever it is. I do have a few things, nothing of consequence, of course, which is always the deal on this particular show. It's a three-hour respite from anything that matters. So we have, you know, we've talked about HOAs many times, and oh, man. And I tell you what, it does cause people a lot of frustration, to say the least. And there's been a lot of homeowners who've done a lot in response to HOA queries or complaints or citations. Rarely is it the HOA members themselves, and this one claims that she really didn't even hold a grudge. Everyone knew who she was. She's a woman, 74 years old, from New Palestine, Indiana, theoretically of sound mind. She is on the board of the HOA of her neighborhood. All right, so she's known to them all. They all know who this woman is. So she's facing charges of criminal trespass, mischief, and public nudity after she was caught not once, but twice, defecating in broad daylight against the side of a neighbor's home. Now, when I first heard this, I said, oh, man, there must be one hell of a fight here. No, she denies it. Sadly, the homeowner was mowing his lawn when he discovered it. Oh, God. A pile of human excrement next to the air conditioning unit. And so he had surveillance cameras and looked back and saw the first instance on May 2nd. He didn't do anything then. He figured it was just a one-off and whatever. But after the second incident, he contacted police. Now, the woman, by the way, is clearly identifiable. And again, she's on the HOA board of directors or whatever they call them at their particular homeowner deal. But she's seen full face, clearly identifiable, lowering her pants and squatting and emptying her bowels. She initially denied that she did. I didn't do that. Well, they had video. And so she replied, well, I had nothing against the homeowner. I simply had to go. She's since stepped down from her position at the HOA board. Oh, man, I tell you, the hits just keep on coming. And we've got another one. And this is the continuing online crisis. Again, people are just mad as hell about all sorts of things that they feel they can't confront, that when they find a way to confront it, they do in the worst possible way. And that's the case with Edward Kang, 20 years old. And he's facing a stretch in prison. Now, interestingly, he had to fly a long way to get there. He lives in New Jersey. He flew from Newark to Jacksonville, Florida, Duval County, on June 21st, checked into a hotel, purchased a hammer and a flashlight at a hardware store there, and later arrived at the victim's home, which is in Fernandina Beach, that's north of Jacksonville in Duval County, enters the home through an unlocked door, apparently to confront the victim because the victim got up from gaming. These are all gamers, I should mention. But so the victim was exactly where he was expected to be found gaming. And so the attacker wields the hammer. Now, interestingly, the victim wasn't alone in the house. His stepfather was there. He heard the altercation and helped wrestle this guy, Edward Kang, to the ground. Not before the victim sustained severe head wounds and lost a significant amount of blood. And so when arrested, he told the deputies he's a bad person online. He's charged with attempted second-degree murder and armed burglary. I don't know what it was he was trying to steal, but be aware, be afraid, very afraid, because people are on their last nerve. And, you know, you see that in the headlines. I couldn't believe it today, and we won't belabor this, but calls to assassinate Supreme Court justice is not okay. Not okay at all, but people's frustrations are so over the top. They're also hot. How hot is it? I know, sounds like a joke. It's so hot, Abe Lincoln's legs are falling off. So what is the punchline? Actually, there is none. It's a 6-foot-tall wax replica of the 16th president inside the Lincoln Memorial. Now, firstly, wax, and I know wax museums and all that, but wax is questionable, especially when there are extreme temperature possibilities. The statue was placed on the campus of Garrison Elementary School in February to draw attention to the Civil War and its aftermath. And meanwhile, it's been put in the Lincoln Memorial. Well, it's hot in there. And so Lincoln has started to melt. The idea was the ambient temperature wouldn't melt the sculpture unless it got to 140 degrees. The artist, who is a gal from Richmond, Virginia. But unfortunately, his poor legs are coming unglued, just like the general public. So Lincoln's head has lolled so far backward, well, at least it wasn't to the right or the left, that the nonprofit that commissioned the work has now removed it, with plans to restore it to its perch when temperatures are moderated. How about trying something other than wax? Just a thought. We could go on, but we got Guy in Ottawa, and I'm grateful to him. 888-876-5593. Guy in Ottawa, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, how you doing?
I can't complain. How about yourself, Guy?
I'm hanging in there. Hey, I just want to tell you, I listen every night. I just don't call in very often because I'm working.
Well, it's great to have you. What do you do for a living? What are you doing while you're listening?
I work in the EBS department at Morris Hospital.
Oh, well, thanks for taking me with you.
I clean and disinfect pretty much.
Well, it's about as important as it gets, because there's nothing worse than hospital-borne infections.
That's true.
So thank you for doing it.
Thank you. Thank you for saying so. It gets overlooked sometimes, you know.
Well, yeah, until somebody gets sick.
Right, right. Yeah. I just want to request, if I could.
Sure.
Ohio Players.
Uh-huh.
Can you play something off the one with the naked girl on the album?
I'm going to need a title rather than an album cut. Let me let you know what we've got to choose from the Ohio Players that's easy to play. Hoochie Coo, Sweet Sticky Thing, Skin Tight, Rattlesnake, Pain, OHIO, Love Roller Coaster, Jive Turkey. We've got more. I Want to Be Free, Funky Worm, Fop, Fire, Feel the Beat, Ecstasy, and Beg, Borrow, and Steal.
I'm stuck between Sweet Sticky Thing or Jive Turkey. I'll let you pick.
All right. Well, how about Jive Turkey Part 1? It'll come up next.
Sounds good. And I was just joking about that album cover, because don't they all have album covers have naked women on?
Sometimes they're just cutouts, but yeah,
okay.
You know, like remember Peter Brown? It was a cardboard cutout, really good one too.
All right, right.
All right. Well,
one more thing.
Yes.
You mentioned that HOA person.
Yes.
You mentioned it was a one-off.
Yeah.
I think it was a two-off.
Well, in every way, shape, and form, you're 100% right. All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
I'll see you later.
Okay, bye. All right. So, see, I just sit here and talk to you. That's the easy part. Guy's got the hard job, and I do thank him because nothing worse than hospital-borne infection. All right. So, and he's keeping us clean. Let's talk about the CC Radio 3. Yeah, that's a happy subject. And it is a terrific radio. It's the almost everything radio. It's the one John has by his bedside because he likes that Bluetooth speaker. And with that, man, you can hear podcasts or anything, and it'll sound better than any smartphone, yet you can use your smartphone to access it, which is nice. If you listen primarily for voice content, whether it's AM or FM or the Bluetooth speaker, man, it just sounds great. Some say it's arguably worth the price alone for audio quality. It sounds like the host is sitting right next to you if you're listening to talk radio. There's separate bass and treble controls that can be adjusted to your perfect pitch to immerse yourself in audio clarity. What I like about it, though, is like all the radios that Bob Crane has designed, the CC Radio 3 has great reception. In fact, those CC radios, the 3 and the 2E, might have the best reception going, but all of his do. So long-range AM and FM, and like I've said many times, you take the average AM radio, you put it next to a CC like the CC Radio 3, you tune to a weak station, and man, you'll see the difference. And you also have emergency capabilities like NOAA weather and the weather alert, and the 2-meter ham band, which is very interesting. You hear all sorts of things on that you don't hear anywhere else. And it's got a digital readout, and it's got a clock, and an alarm, and a timer, dial light, all that. So it's got all the bells and whistles. But you can fine-tune in 1 kilohertz increments if you want to do that, too. So it is just a terrific radio. It runs on the included power cord or a set of batteries. Now, if you're a real DXer, you know you probably don't want to use AC power. You want to go with the batteries, and they last for over 170 hours. So, have I gotten your attention? Go to ccradio.com anytime. ccradio.com. Look at the CC Radio 3. Now, if you can't go online, you can call them, and they'll send you a catalog absolutely free. They've got the best customer service. You can call them right now. 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. 522-8863. But if you can go online, oh man, you're going to see just great information as well as terrific products. And you can sign up for their newsletter, be the first to know about exclusive offers. It is not spam, and I think you'll be really pleased. Now, of course, you're saying, I have to have it tomorrow. Well, REI, Bi-Mart, Amazon, they can probably do that. But before you do anything, if you can go online, go to ccradio.com. Look at the CC Radio 3. And you tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio.
No, man, that ain't none of my old lady. I used to talk to her, but then the cat she go with now, and he just busted her. Now listen to this.
I used to think that you were really cool. I used to think that you never would be nobody's fool. Let me tell you, baby, you're a jive to me. Give me a string.
James. Williams enjoying that a little too much jive. Turkey Part 1, the Ohio Players, 1974 on Mercury. And Guy has good taste there. That's a fine song. All right, so 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh. And we'll get to Jim in Richmond here, because, yes, I do have information for him, and to Cindy in Chicago, and to you, too, coming up. Full show tomorrow night and on Thursday night as well. So, yes, live 4th of July show Thursday night. So hopefully you'll join me and call, and that's when I'll go over the Loveland saga, because I've been talking about this long enough, and we will have audio examples. All right, so, yes, there'll not be a quiz later, so you don't need notes, but I think you'll otherwise enjoy it. So, Jim in Richmond, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. Thank you for taking my call.
Always. How are you feeling?
Okay. I'm doing fine. I just wanted to let you know that I did talk to the CC radio people.
Uh-huh.
And we had a long conversation. The guy was super nice. He's sending me out a catalog.
Okay.
And he's circling two radios that he would think that would help me here.
Excellent.
And I'm told him for right now I'm going to keep the one I got. He said he thinks the problem with the one that they recommended me buy, the pocket one, has the antennas too small.
Okay.
And I laughed because I'm only 120 miles from downtown Chicago.
Yeah, but so, like I say, that's not good news, because at night with the phase zone, it's actually worse reception than if you were 400 miles from Chicago. See what happened?
Right.
And the reason that happens is because normally during the day, AM signals are ground waves, so they just go along with the Earth. Well, at night, AM bounces off the ionosphere layer and comes back. That's how you can hear it at great distances at night. But there is a zone somewhere between, say, 70 miles and 150 miles from the transmitter where the ground wave and the sky wave cancel each other out and reception can be lousy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where you are.
And that's
yeah.
Right, and that's what we talked about. So he circled two, and he's mailing me out a catalog.
Good.
So,
good. Glad
and,
to that.
And so far as the other numbers you gave me,
yes.
I haven't heard back whether they're going to okay the medication
okay.
for my eyes because of the fact that it's the holidays. So I'm waiting till okay. next week to call my insurance company and back to the doctor's office if they're still going to go with that medication.
Okay.
So I haven't called the numbers that you gave me, but I thank you very, very much for those numbers.
Oh, sure.
Just in case they say, okay, it's where I'm going to go with that, you know?
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Now, you wanted the phone number for IBVI in Janesville on Newport. All right. Now, I'm not I'm not 100% sure what they have to offer, but I'm going to give you the number anyway. You ready?
Yes.
608 seven
yes.
754 3208
I think you got one too many numbers.
Well, I have 608-754-3208.
Okay, 754-3208.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now I want to give you, and that's the IBVI. So
right, that's where I could go there and see if they have anything.
Yeah.
That I could buy to help me with my vision. Right.
I'm not sure. You might want to call first, and they are on Newport Avenue in Janesville. But I
have no idea where that is. But they'll tell me.
Yes, 1715 Newport. I will tell you. The other thing is the Office for the Blind and Visually Impaired in Wisconsin. Do you have that number?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You could give it to me.
I will. You ready?
Yes.
888.
Okay.
879.
Yes.
0017.
Thank you.
Oh, sure. Now, the one I found that I think is really interesting, and that's something called iLink Wisconsin. It's EYE-LINK. But their website, and I'm giving you this, I know you can't use it, but if someone's helping you, I want you to have the URL. So are you ready?
If you go slow, yeah.
Oh, I'll go slow.
Mm-hmm.
W-I dot, mm-hmm. then a dot, like a period, okay?
Yes.
E-Y-E.
E-Y-E.
Dash. You know, a little
dash.
Dash, right. And then link. Mm-hmm. L-I-N-K.
L-I-N-K. N-K.
Dot O-R-G.
Dot org.
Yeah. Now, reason I mention them is their mission is to provide adaptive technology and relative training to Wisconsin residents who are blind or visually impaired at no charge. Now,
I think that's great.
Yeah,
I think
too.
That's great.
The problem that I find here is the application is one of those online things. However, I searched a little further, and I found the director of applications, and I've got a phone number for him.
So, oh, thank you.
Oh, sure. His name is Jeffrey Scott.
I'll just go Jeff.
And hang on a minute. I'm going to give you the number right after the news. Stay right where you are.
Oh, I didn't know we went that far into the show.
That's okay. Hang on. Don't go away. And we'll pick it up right there with Jeffrey's number coming up on WGN Radio.
It's lonely out tonight. And the feeling just got right for a brand new love song. Somebody done somebody wrong song. Won't you play another somebody done somebody wrong song and make me feel at home while I miss my baby, while I miss my baby. So play for me a sad melody, so sad that it makes everybody cry. A real hurting song about a love that's gone wrong. 'Cause I don't wanna cry all alone. Hey, won't you play another somebody done somebody wrong song.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that was Rita in Harwood Heights. Yeah, I was a fan of Relevant Radio who had called the other night, and she said, hey, will you play B.J. Thomas? Won't you play another Somebody Done Somebody Wrong song? Happy to. 1975, Chip Smoman wrote that with Larry Butler, and boy, was it ever a big hit. So, we are talking to Jim in Richmond, and we were about to give him the phone number for Jeffrey Scott, Director of Applications for iLink. And as I say, iLink tends to want to do things completely online. But I did find his number, and I don't think it's a problem to call. Of course, he'll tell you if it is. But so, are we ready for the number?
Yes.
All right. 608...
Yes.
692.
Yes.
6358.
Thank you.
Oh, sure. And I like some of their stuff. Now, some of their stuff is meant to work with computers, and they might be able to get your computer, too, if you wanted it. But some of the stuff, like one of the things that I liked was the SmartLook digital handheld magnifier, which is a portable handheld video magnifier where you're looking at pill bottles
and
menus.
That's what I want.
Well, it's called...
That's what I want.
Well, it's called a SmartLook digital handheld magnifier.
Yes. Because I used a magnifier on my iPhone.
Right.
Just to read a few lines on my mail.
Yeah.
And I asked Siri, what was the strongest magnifier they make? And she goes, okay, here's look this up. And I can't look it up.
Right.
You know?
Right, exactly.
So,
yeah, well, that's it. SmartLux Digital. So when you talk to Jeff, tell him that's what you want.
Okay, and number two. Today... my dog, which is a teddy bear, would not leave me alone all day today.
Really?
And then when he was laying on my lap, he was trembling and trembling and trembling. And then I asked my friend Char, I called her up, and she's on vacation up way up north in Wisconsin. Mm. And she said that there's so much energy coming in that even her cat up there is running around in circles.
Really?
And she said to, you know, that there is a gigantic solar flare.
There is.
That has left the sun and should hit us on Friday and Saturday. And right. I just wanted to let you know.
Yes. No, there are some tremendous flares right now that have been going on. You're 100% percent right. And, yeah, mm-hmm. dogs can tremble and shiver and shake for all sorts of reasons. But, of course, if this continues, I would want, you know, I would want someone to see him. You know, you don't.
Right.
You don't.
And the other, he hates fireworks, and I'm terrified for the next 2 days.
Well, I'll tell you what, you stay there with the windows closed and maybe the radio or a television on where you're not hearing it and hold him. You know what's going to happen at night, so hold him.
Right. He doesn't even like thunderstorms.
Well, most dogs don't, and I think they know more than we do about it.
Right. That's what I thought of what was going on today, and that's what I called her up north because she's on vacation in her camper up north.
Yeah.
And she just said that there's tremendous energy coming through right now, CMAs. And I have one request.
Yes.
I have looked all over for this song, and you talked about, I think, one of the singers of the song the other night. It's Knock Knock on Wood.
Oh, Knock on Wood, of course. I'll be happy to play that.
Wait, but the one that I like goes Knock Knock, and then there's a space in between.
Really?
On wood.
Really? Oh.
It goes knock, knock on wood. And it goes on like that. And that's the one I like. And I've looked up many times in the past, and I've got knock, knock on wood, knock, knock on wood. But this goes knock, knock on wood. And I can't remember the person you talked to the other night. I think that was the guy that sang it.
Well,
His name started with an F.
Oh, well, Eddie Floyd. I'm not sure.
Maybe that's it.
I've got, you know, it's so weird. I have this song by a lot of different people, including Otis Redding and Carla Thomas. So let's...
Or Otis Redding is not the one I want.
Okay, you know that you don't want Otis and Carla. All right.
Right.
Now, later in 79, Amy Stewart did it.
This is a man.
Okay, well, let me let you hear a little of the Otis, of the Eddie Floyd, and you'll tell me if this is the guy. And otherwise, we'll keep looking. But here we go.
And I thank you for that. That's it.
Okay, that's the original. That's Eddie Floyd from August of 1966. And
can you play that for me?
Yeah,
sometime.
Yeah, I'll play it tonight. We'll play it again, most of it anyway. But that's Eddie Floyd. But you know, 190 people recorded this song, believe it or not. So it's a lot of people. But Eddie was the original, and that was the hit in August of 66.
Right, and that's when he started singing. I remember that voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's a lot of songs you play that I don't know.
Most of them, I'm sure.
It frustrates me. But there's a lot that I do, some that I do know. So.
Sure.
And I thank you for your time tonight. And thank you for your listeners, because they've been helping me.
Absolutely. Well, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Thanks. Good night.
All right. So 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. And we have, let's see here, Bill in Watertown. All right. So Bill in Massachusetts, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. The other day I just heard the song At the Hop.
Oh, yes.
Danny and the Juniors.
Yes, yes.
And I was wondering, did you do record hops when you were a DJ?
I did record hops, but I'll tell you, I also did through the 70s, the mid-70s, I did a lot of those disco things, like at hotels, like every Saturday night at the Marriott on Shadeland in Indianapolis, the Gandy Dancer Lounge, I played disco records. So, yeah, I've done them both.
Yeah, here I know it was big money for people like in the 50s, maybe early 60s.
No, big. Joe Smith. Right. Right, no
Joe
big,
Smith
big money,
and
of
Annie
course.
Ginsberg, I mean,
yes.
They'd go up and down, they'd go up to Maine,
yes.
Even into Canada and do them.
No, you're 100% right, and that was true in so many markets. You know, and in some cases, the disc jockeys made more with the hops than they did at the radio station. So in a couple cases, like Jerry Blavitt, he had his own helicopter so that he could do three or four in one night.
Wow.
So yeah, it was huge. And of course, you know, TV dance shows started in the early 50s with Bob Horn. And then by the latter 50s, most every market had one. And they were huge.
Yes, we had one here. I think it was, he was kind of a middle of the road DJ, but Bob Clayton was.
Well, of course, absolutely, yes.
Yeah,
and Bob Clayton was a big deal. Yeah, bopping at the Boston Ballroom and things like that.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah, no, and Bob Clayton later came down to Miami. So yeah, I knew Bob. But anyway, there were a number of them, and every market had them. And whether it was Buddy Dean in Baltimore, or Milt Grant in D.C., or Gene Loving in Norfolk, or later Rick Shaw in Miami. But I'm Bill. I forget the Bill. I can't think of his last name. He was the guy who was there originally. But anyway, Bill Wyler. Bill Wyler was the big guy, and of course Clay Cole in New York. Or you know, you can go on, up and down, and just about every market had them. Jim Lonsbury. You know, you name it.
Could I make a couple of requests?
Absolutely. Now you know, by the way, that at the Hop, the original title was "Do the Bop."
Oh, really?
And it was Dick Clark who changed that, and he took writing credits for it.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But, yeah, it was Do the Bop, and he and Dick, no, at the Hop. So that was the deal with that, and that was Madeira and White who wrote that originally. And one of the things that John Madeira said many times, hey, I'd rather have a percentage of something than 100% of nothing. I willingly gave it away.
Now, I think their only other hit was, what, Rock and Roll
Is Here to Stay. Yes, yes.
Did he have a piece of that, too?
Not to my knowledge, you know, but anything's possible. But, you know, it was on Empire. It was on ABC Paramount, so nothing would surprise me. Now, of course, you know what happened to Danny Rapp, right?
No.
Oh, man, this is so weird. He commits suicide in Arizona, but he'd been appearing at a club in Phoenix, and it was like a week-long appearance, kind of at a hotel type thing, and he was doing really well, and he took off, and he drove down I-10 to Quartzsite, and Quartzsite's a weird little place, but they've got this one motel where it's mostly trailers, but they call it the Quartzsite Yacht Club, and it's a long story. A long time no see, S-E-A was their slogan. The funny thing about the Quartzsite, by the way, is that it actually qualified for membership in other yachting clubs. So there were people who legitimately joined it thinking, well, I'll just use it in Newport. But anyway, for whatever reason, to this day we don't know, is that that Danny Rapp drove to Quartzsite and killed himself.
Jeez.
And it's the strangest darn thing. And, you know, I realize it was really hard for a while for these guys to, you know, make any money because it went out of favor, as you know. And then, of course, the 60s came in with all their psychedelic garbage and nobody did anything. But then it came back. And what was so weird is that you would think this was 1983. And like I say, he had gotten the gig and he was playing for the week, and why he drove to Quartzsite, you know, nobody's ever seemed to have an answer for that. So he checked into the Quartzsite Yacht Club. I'm not, which like I say, it's a trailer. You know, there's one bar in town, used to be anyway, the Jigsaw, and so he was seen there drinking, but how he wound up sometime over the weekend acquiring a 25 caliber auto from someone, and they found him in his hotel with a self-inflicted, you know, single gunshot wound to the right side of his head. And to this day, so that was April 2nd in 1983, and of course he would have been 41 years old, because he was born in May of 1941, so he would have been about to turn 42. But yeah, so that was Danny Rapp, and to this day, I don't know why.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it was high on these groups, small groups. All of a sudden, they have a few hits, and then that's it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, in some cases, they were really young, and so that was great. None of them could count on royalties for the most part, but a hit record did get them more money for their, you know, for their appearances. That's what it did. But the guys who were older, more established, yeah, I'll tell you, when the British invasion hit, it was curtains. But if they were able to survive it for another decade, it started to come back with the package shows.
Wow.
You know, so by 83, those package shows, he'd been doing those package shows a while, and I think the hotel was Point Tapatio, if I recall this right. It's not there anymore. But anyway, he got a month-long gig there, and he'd played for the month, pretty much. And right the day that was going to be the last night, that's when he drove to Quartzsite to the Yacht Club Motel. So if anybody listening has any idea why he did this, I'd love to know.
I know he, back to record hops, a fellow that he kind of got going at record hops, and I guess he was getting paid to make appearances. Who's the one that sang Palisades Park?
Oh, Freddie Cannon. Freddie Cannon, of course. He was a local boy for you.
Yeah, and he did a lot of the, that's where he kind of got going as a, you know, guest, I guess, as a paid performer at some of these big record offs.
Yeah,
he was
born in Revere and raised in Lynn. And very very blue collar environment. And in 1958, he was playing with the Spindrifts, and that was a local hit, but it didn't do anything at all. And then he played lead guitar on the G Clefs. A lot of people remember that G Clefs record, Ka-Ding Dong.
Oh yes.
Yeah. Well, he was lead guitar on Ka-Ding Dong, and
wow.
Then what happened? That was like 1956. He joined the National Guard. And he became a truck driver in the National Guard, and he got married and, you know, quickly had a child and all that. So suddenly he became an adult overnight. But he was on Boston Ballroom all the time. And so the guy who managed him was a Boston disc jockey. You might remember him, Jack McDermott.
And,
that's who managed him. And so he did a demo, and he took it to Bob Crewe and Frank Slay, which was Swan. And the demo, they didn't really like it, but they rearranged the song and all that and took the writing credits, don't you know? And that became Tallahassee Lassie.
Yeah, I heard an interview with him. I think he's still alive, lives out on the West Coast now.
He's absolutely still alive and still performing.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
wow.
He's 87 years old, and he's still performing. You know, occasionally I'll see him booked on those cruise ships and things like that.
Oh, yeah. God. All right. Can I make a couple of requests?
Absolutely.
Bobby Peterson, Irresistible You.
Oh, okay.
And this is, I guess you'd call this more of a country song, but the Statler Brothers, Do You Remember These?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, that's a great record. One of my favorites by them. I think my all-time favorite is The Class of 57 Had Its Dreams. So
that's right, yeah.
Sure. Do You Remember These? Absolutely. I'll be happy to play it.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Nice
appreciate
talking
it.
With
likewise.
You.
Likewise. So 888-876-5593 is 888-ROLLYE. So more of Knock on Wood coming up, but I think, we'll do that next, and then I'll get to some other stuff on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Eddie Floyd, there he is, 1966 on Stax. And you know, it was the first thing he charted with and the biggest thing he ever charted with. Yeah, on the R&B charts anyway. Number one in 1966, only got to 28 on the pop charts. Interestingly, my favorite, which was I've Never Found a Girl to Love Me Like You Do, that was number two for 2 weeks on the R&B charts, but only made it to number 40 on the pop charts. And then Bring It On Home to Me, released right after Never Never Found a Girl to Love Me Like You Do, got to number 17 on the pop charts. Yeah, so it was his biggest pop record, actually, and number four on the R&B charts. So yeah, but yeah, knock on wood, you betcha. And Steve Cropper and Eddie Floyd wrote it. So, and that is, of course, for Jim. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, we're going to get to Cindy after the news. She has a request, and we'll find out what that is and take your calls as well. And so here we have it. And John, Carol gave me all your requests, and I played most of them. So she said I could pick one. And I have. You'll hear it next hour, coming up on WGN Radio.
Now you've heard the story of the hot rod race when the Ford and the Mercury was setting a pace. That story's true, I'm here to say, cause I was a-driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor and it's really souped up, and that Model A body makes it look like a pup. It's got 8 cylinders and use them all with an overdrive that just won't stall. Got a 4-barrel carb and a dual exhaust, 411 gears that can really get lost. Got safety tubes and I'm not scared, the brakes are good and the tires are fair. We left San Pedro late one night, the moon and the stars were shining bright. Everything went fine up the Grapevine Hill, we was passing cars like they were standing still. Then all of a sudden, like the flick of an eye, a Cadillac sedan passed us by. The remark was made, that's the car for me, but then the taillight was all you could see. Well, the fellers ribbed me for being behind, so I started to make that Lincoln unwind. Took my foot off the gas, and man alive, I shoved it down into overdrive. Well, I wound it up to 110, twisted the speedometer cable off the end, had my foot feet clear to the floor, says that's all there is, there ain't no more.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's Johnny Bond version of Hot Rod Lincoln, and that's what Stephanie wanted to hear, so happy to play that for her. The history of it, by the way, if you're unaware, Johnny Bond was actually the third major act to record it, long before there was Commander Cody, of course. It started in 1951 by a guy who was from Spokane, as I recall, but anyway, Archie Shibley did Hot Rod Race.
Now me and my wife and my brother Joe took off in the Ford from San Pedro. We hadn't much gas and the tires were low, but the doggone Ford could really go. Now along about the middle of the night, we were ripping along like white folks might. When a Mercury behind, he blinked his lights, he honked his horn and he flew out of sight. We had twin pots in the Columbia, but you people may think that I'm in a rut. But
so that was 51, Hot Rod Race, Archie Shibley, and I just looked him up. He was actually from Arkansas, but he did spend a lot of time in Spokane. In any event, that's where I had first run across him. That was 51. Then in 56, Charlie Ryan did it.
Well, you heard the story of the hot rod race that fatal day when the Ford and the Mercury went out to play. Well, this is the inside story, and I'm here to say I was a kid that was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor and it's really souped up, and that Model A body makes it look like a pup. It's got 12 cylinders, uses them all with an overdrive that just won't stall.
Initially, Charlie Ryan said he wrote it, but Archie Shibley got in the mix at some point, and sure enough. So then, long after that unpleasantness, in 1960, Johnny Bond came along that we played for Stephanie, and that was June of 60. But But that wasn't the end of it. Everybody and their brother had done of it. Kenny Price, and I mentioned Commander Cody, of course, and Asleep at the Wheel, and you name it. So that was a history, though. But it started with Archie. Yeah, Archie Shibley. 888-876-5593 is 8888-Raleigh. And Cindy is in Chicago. So what's up tonight, Cindy?
Well, I guess you're fading in and out. I don't know. I don't think it's my phone. But anyhow...
It must be me.
My request is... I don't know if you'll play it if you care for Jerry Lee Lewis.
What do you want to hear?
Goodness Gracious, Great Balls of Fire.
Yeah, big hit. All right. Sure.
And then I just wanted to... My boy... We were sitting in the yard, my boyfriend and I, and He was playing Cat Stevens, and I was like, I just hate cats. I don't know. I just loathe. And then he put Jerry Lee Lewis on, and I felt better. But that one song by Cat Stevens makes me want to jump off the Golden Gate Bridge. I don't know. It just has that effect on me. That one song, What Will the Young Leave Us This Time?
I don't know. Well, you can also vote for it as long as it was at least a reasonable hit. I'm not sure about that. In the World's Worst Hit Records, which the polls will open on Halloween, A Night of Horrors.
Yeah, that one I'll bring up. I wanted to ask you if you remembered a talk show host named Jay Marvin.
Oh, of course. Everybody remembers Jay Marvin.
Okay, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I could have probably talked him out of his funk.
Well,
after he retired, after he lost his job, I could have.
Yeah, now mind you, Jay Marvin had been sick for about a year. So there were a lot of other things that had nothing to do with his funk, absolute physical things. So,
I didn't know that.
Yes. So, and I don't ever presume.
I think he had a heart condition.
He had several things, actually. And that's pretty much led to his leaving radio. And so he was an Los Angeles boy, actually, Orange County. And his father was a talent agent. In fact, she had a lot of big clients like Valerie Harper and Sally Kellerman and all that. And by the time he was in high school, he was already, I think his words were, you name a drug, I've done it. So he was already into a lot of substances. And so, he had a tough life all the way around. But he was radio kind of saved him because he fell in love with it. And, of course, he could be what he wanted on the radio. One of the guys he used to listen to was one of my favorite morning men, Bob Crane, when he was at KNX, long before there was a Hogan's Heroes. And so, it was interesting. So, yeah.
I spent a lot of years listening to him overnight, And then there was that other one, Jake Hartford. Whatever happened to him?
You tell
his
me.
His show was about nothing, too.
Well, Marvin's show was sometimes about things, but as...
Yeah, I know. I mean, as far as your show, though, I mean, it's about, it's nothing heavy.
Jake is no longer with us. He died about 10 years
ago. Oh, really?
Yeah. And you probably knew him when he was on LS, but then he was on CPT for a while. But, he worked in TV News in Chicago, actually. I think that, we do those Walter Jacobson perspectives on Thursdays. I think that he was one of Walter's producers. I think, and he was on the air as Jake the Travel Guy, with Rokon and all that. But anyway, he wound up, after that. I really don't know after that, but he died of a massive heart attack. So it was not suicide. He was 63 at the time.
On a lighter note, I only used my slow cooker once. I bought a lot of stuff years ago, and I used it tonight. I made my pork ribs in the slow cooker. I cooked them for 3 hours on medium. Now I have them in the Dutch oven. I don't have a barbecue anymore because I moved. But then anyhow, I have them in the Dutch oven, and I'm making them. I don't make stuff for the holiday the last minute. Mm. I just don't. And my house is my condo shaping up.
Good.
Tomorrow I'm going to get the box in the kitchen all cleared out. The big box, I don't even know what's in there. And then wash the wooden floor with the floor cleaner. I've never had wooden floors. And mm-hmm. just straighten, just get the
Good.
Kitchen.
That'll keep you busy.
You know, there's about 10 boxes left in there. We're about 90.
Well, if you decide not to unpack them, just paint them a nice color and put a lamp on them. That's all there is to it.
Okay, well, I was just heartbroken when J. Marvin died. I really was. Well, he was a great, great guy.
Yeah, it was. He was certainly colorful. I'll give him that. And
yes.
like a lot of people who are colorful, he had both people who loved him and people who hated him. And, you know, I'll tell you what, for somebody like that, that's actually very good. The thing you worry about is you don't want people in the middle. You don't want people who say, oh, he's okay. I mean, that's the kiss of death. You like people who love you. You like people who hate you when you have that type of a show.
And he absolutely, could think out of the box and think the way he, you know, think out of the box. He wasn't like,
yeah, well,
conventional.
In some ways, but you know, it was interesting. Yes, the resident liberal firebrand, and you know, like I say, there are people who just absolutely loved it. He had tried to kill himself in 2011, and
he did.
Oh yes, that is absolutely true. So there was that, and that was partially physical, but also partially because, of course, you know, he. He no longer had his mouthpiece, his microphone. So, yeah, that was pretty well known. Uh-huh. It was in the Denver Post and all that. But sadly, 70 years old, and that's only a little over a year ago. And Marvin J. Cohen was his name. So there you have it.
Wow. And his wife's name was Mary. I remember that.
So, yeah, she was... she was interviewed a lot in the Denver Post when there was that that suicide attempt, obviously. So,
yeah.
All right.
Well, okay, I want to leave room for other callers.
Thanks for calling. Okay. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Right. Talk to you soon. Yeah. In fact, it was Mary who found him in 2011. And, you know, more than anything, I think that radio saved him, and the loss of radio was his heartbreak. But he did have physical problems as well. So 888-876-5593, 888-88-RALEIGH. We got John in Covington, Eduardo in Tampa, Marlo in Tennessee. Haven't heard from Marlo in a while. And you, too, coming up on WGN Radio.
Tell myself that deep down inside I could never
Rowdy James. Well, Fran last week had asked for I Like the Way You Love Me, of course, Brenton Wood. And I don't know why, but I was thinking Foxy. That was also on Double Shot, and it was actually a flip side from 1971. Not the same Foxy who would appear later in Florida. These were a trio of girls from L.A., Clydie King and Pat Powderl and Cheryl Atwood. And they had a couple things, but that flip side, I thought their version of I Like the Way You Love Me was very nice. So I played that for myself. All right, now, 888-876-5593, Marlo in Tennessee. What's up tonight, Marlo?
Hey, Ryder, how you doing, girl?
All right, how about yourself?
I'm doing good. You were running my mind back when we traveled with Eddie Floyd. I was thinking about King Curtis, Black Oak, Arkansas, Phyllis Hyman, Dr. John, all this good stuff.
Yeah.
And you were running my mind back. It was sure a good feeling to, you know, hear that.
Yeah, I was.
I guess I done lost all my contact, girl. I'm telling you the truth.
Oh, no, everybody's gone. I mean, I've outlived them all, so I know just how you feel. But Eddie Floyd is still alive. It's hard to say, hard to believe, but he's like 88 years old and still with us.
I know, but when we were playing, I didn't know he was that old.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. He was. Now, the interesting thing, I've seen a lot of articles on him, and I think he was born in 37. So in any event, there's so many articles, but when they talk about his kids, he had a lot of kids, and all they ever say is that he had a son and a daughter. I'm like, wait a minute, what about Edric, who sadly died a couple of years ago? And it's like, you got to be kidding me. And, Erica, his sister, Cheryl and Nikki. And so it's like, what happened to all these people? So, I don't know.
I mean, it went by fast, looks like, and I just remember you just running my mind back so much. I said, talk all my contact.
Yeah.
I mean, wow, if they ever hear me, they probably call me, because we always kept the same telephone number. Eddie used to eat at our house all the time. He used to be on the show talking about my mama cooking.
And, oh, that's great.
You know, a lot of stuff went through my mind.
Yeah. And so I don't know where he is living now. He was certainly performing until at least a few years ago for sure, and releasing some stuff. But I don't know where he's living. Do you?
Well, last time I heard, I believe it was in Mississippi, some part of Mississippi.
Okay, that's interesting. All right.
Yeah, well, if I'm not mistaken now.
He was born in Montgomery.
Montgomery, yeah. Alabama.
Exactly. But, well, Mississippi, of course, is close to Memphis, so a lot of people go to Mississippi, sure. That's interesting.
I was glad to hear them songs, and good. That was a good feeling to hear you.
Yeah.
And when you mentioned the 87, 88, I said, me and my sister were talking. I didn't know he was that old. When we was on stage, it don't seem like it, But,
well, 1937 doesn't seem like you could be that old, because I think in 1937, that was the class of 1955. That doesn't seem like you could be in your 80s. Well, oh, yes, you could. Yeah, you could easily be 87. Yeah, so that's time flies. But, yeah, so...
we did a lot of shows, a lot of good artists, too. I was thinking about all that stuff. Phyllis Hyman, Black Oak, Arkansas, Dr. John, King Curtis.
King Curtis is wonderful. And, of course, before that, Eddie Floyd was in the Falcons, so that was the mid-50s.
Right, yeah. Well, I want to request, too. I want you to play some Marlo Lanier music. I don't care what it is.
All right. I can do that, without a doubt. It's funny because the computer in Globe, you're front and center there, but I'm sure you're on this one too. But I know I see that one all the time. So I think I could have had a good thing. Might be what we play.
Okay, that'd be fine.
Yeah, it's a wonderful song.
Yeah, thank you. That'll be fine. Well, it's good to hear your voice again. I be listening to my radio.
Good.
I tell you, since this weather been kind of bad, it be blocking a lot of, a lot of static coming through.
Well, yeah, it's all those solar storms. I think we'll play Understanding also. So we'll play two of them.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, my sister told me to tell you. I told her I was going to talk. She told me to tell you hello.
Well, me too. Yeah, keep dancing. Yeah.
Okay, that girl took me, you just got to talk to a while ago about this certain kind of music, but she didn't want to jump off the Golden Gate Bridge. <Yeah. after>
Well, I think Cat Stevens might be able to do that to you. Hard to say, but maybe. All right, well, there will be back-to-back Marlowe's coming up, two in a row. I could have had a good thing in understanding coming up.
Well, thank you.
All right, bye-bye. My pleasure. All right, so Marlowe Lanier, the famous Laniers. All right, so in Jackson, and yes, his sister still has an active dance school. We're going to get to Eduardo in Tampa and John in Covington, going back to WSAI, and former TV shows with Eduardo, so... Yeah, that's all good. And there's room for you, too, coming up. But right now, there's room for the news on WGN Radio.
Well, ooh, all our friends thought we were together, baby. We always had a good time. I'd take you anywhere you want to go. And I blew it. I could have had a good thing. Well, and I knew it. I could have had a real good thing. Babe, and I blew it. We had sunshine when others had rain.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Marlowe Lanier, I Could Have Had a Good Thing, 2022 CD Baby, and you can hear it on YouTube as well. Maybe get a copy for yourself. So there you have it. All right, so 888-876-5593. You'll hear Understanding next. And we have Eduardo in Tampa. What's going on tonight, Eduardo?
Well, a couple of things here. First, let me give you the request here before I forget.
Yeah.
Diana Krall, Peel Me a Grape.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so the 80s show that starred Gary Cole, who's from Chicago, Midnight Caller. So I was reading on this, and it was saying it set up a George Norris KTRS in St. Louis.
I wouldn't go that far, but okay.
Yeah, that's why I would run this by you.
Yeah.
But then they use the call letters on their KJCM.
Yeah.
And this is a sports show in Snyder, Oklahoma.
Right. I mean, certainly Nori took the name, if you want to say the Nighthawk, from it. But, you know,
okay.
Other than deciding he liked the name and putting it on, you know, 550 KTRS, who would care? You know, that's about it.
Okay, there wasn't too much.
No. You know, it's like anything else. You hear something you like, and you think, "Oh, I think I'll call my show that."
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was. I think it was NBC from like 88 to 91. It wasn't.
NBC, right?
Right, and it. The star supposedly was a former police detective who quit because he shot
San
his
Francisco
partner.
Police,
yeah, right. And he becomes an alcoholic, and then he gets an offer. Yeah, right. So here he is, a former cop who's an alcoholic, right? And the beautiful, wealthy owner of a radio station hires him in your dreams. And so he becomes comes the Nighthawk doing overnights and solving their problems during the day. And I think it's a great promise. And like I say, so you know, George heard that, I guess, and thought, I'll just say I'm the Nighthawk. Well, you can say you're anybody you want. But that's the only connection there. And so it was on there for 3 years, and then Good Night America, mm-hmm. wherever you are, right? Some of it was an interesting show, but I think it was three seasons. So I don't know if somebody is carrying it anywhere now. Maybe so.
No, I mean, I haven't seen it because I do like checking out the old TV shows, I haven't seen it. You probably have to do like an Amazon or
I don't know.
Maybe you could do YouTube. Yeah.
Maybe I've never tried, but now that you've said mm-hmm. this, maybe I will. I know there was some controversy on one of the shows, I think it was some type of vigilante thing where a victim winds up in real life predicated on the show, you know, and that happens occasionally.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, and you'd have to read about that. I don't really remember, but I know it involved GLAAD and other groups, and, you know, there was an HIV component. Yeah, well, which in 88, that would be a big thing. So, I'm pretty sure that... there was a controversy there, and I think that some of the affiliates ran disclaimers and all that, but I don't know. I'd have to read more to know. I don't know. So
okay. Hey, moving on to a job interview, I did one today with Publix.
Oh, good.
Actually, it's near to my house.
We're doing what?
Yeah, I mean, I thought I'd give it a try, see what happens.
Well, they'd be lucky to have you, but what did you interview for?
Which is just like a regular clerk.
Okay.
Just,
well, I would.
Away, yeah.
I would think they would want to fall all over themselves for you.
Yeah. Well, the Spanish that helps, and the fact that I'm like 5-10 minutes away.
Yeah,
so,
but I mean,
we'll
yeah, bilingual and available. It sounds good to me. So which? Which Publix is it? Which Publix is it?
It's the one in Carrollwood because I'm in North Tampa.
Okay. So, all right.
There's one close by.
At Carrollwood Shopping Center.
Yeah. Very so, good. I'm still looking into that thing with Teresa at the hospital. So
good.
I'll still be in touch. Because my thinking on that is I could still do both because the hospital might only be like something like Monday through Thursday, and then maybe I can move this to like a weekend thing, like a Friday to Sunday thing.
Right. So were you looking at the one at Carrollwood Shopping Center or the one on Dale Mabry?
It's on Dale Mabry and Limbaugh.
All right, yeah.
I think you got it. I think that's the name of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's other stores. Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
But
I think you're looking at the right one, yeah.
All right. Well, it looks like a lovely store.
We'll see what happens.
I've got 27 pictures of it. It looks lovely.
Yeah. I think you're right over the target,
All right. Well, good.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. But
I would be stunned if they're not beating down your door.
Yeah. Friday, I think they might be calling whoever they might be interested in. So we'll see next week. I'll let you know what happens.
I'd be absolutely stunned. If you don't get this job, there's something wrong with you that I don't know about. Because these people should be just falling all over themselves, literally.
Yeah. I did kind of dress up, so that kind of stands out because some people will just take it easy and just go in their
undershirts,
regular jeans and t-shirt. Yeah. So I thought I'd stand out.
All right. Well, good.
All right.
I want to hear all about
maybe
it.
Maybe I'll call it Thursday.
I'll be here, and it'll be a live 4th of July show.
That is good, because everybody else, either on the radio or on TV, they're like taking the week off. So that's good that you're dedicated.
Yeah, well, they're ungrateful louts. They should be thrilled they have the job and just do it. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, I appreciate
it. Okay, Raleigh, thank you very much.
Okay. So 888-876-5593. And that will take us to John in Covington. So welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, Raleigh. Excuse me. I just wanted to thank you for being so gracious as to mention Jim Scott. There was not one person that I know of that didn't like him.
You're right.
You never heard a bad word about him.
You're right.
You just didn't.
That you're 100% right. And, you know, I know a ton of people in Cincinnati who have all sorts of opinions about all sorts of people, and you will not find anybody who didn't like Jim Scott. You know, I can't.
I'll tell you.
It's been 11 years since I saw him. I can't believe it's been that long, but it's always been a pleasure.
My uncle, he was well-to-do. Anyway, he fixed it for, it was a golf benefit for St. Jude's Hospital. Well, it was $500 a team, but
right.
You got a celebrity to play with you. Yeah, in a scramble format, if you know what that is.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, okay. So, Jim, I mean, he did the best he could, but he had a polio kind of hand and leg. I don't know.
On the arm, absolutely. Jim had polio when he was about 12 years old. And, of course, so when he started to get the symptoms of ALS, you know, that sort of brought it, you know, kind of full circle. I don't think he was sure it was ALS at first, but, you know, with polio in your history, you never fully get rid of that. So, yeah.
Yeah, and let me tell you, I won't say, you know, he wasn't great, but he did better than a lot of guys that I know that didn't have that problem.
Yeah.
And
no,
I told him, he gets assigned to us, and it's like, you guys are going to be sorry. And it's like, no, hell no, Jim Scott, as long as you've got that Grippo potato chip in your back pocket.
Yeah.
Now, so one more thing that... you mentioned Rocket Radio.
Yes.
Yes. So, are you familiar with the overnight guy at SAI by the name of Bud Stagg?
Sure.
Okay. And he had a sidekick. I think it was just him. It was called
HC.
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 Yeah.
HC. Yeah. Yeah.
That was just him, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, Bud Stagg. Okay. So. I called because he would want people to call and tell jokes and this and that. Well, I called and I was, what's up with this Rocket Radio? And I don't know if he's pulling my leg or what. I don't think he was. Was the tower on next to the studio?
Yeah, right there, up there by the Queen Anne
on
Towers.
On West Ace and
Yes,
Madison
absolutely.
Place.
West Ace and Madison Place, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And he told me, if you get down, you know... before you get to Price's Mountain, you just look at our tower. And the boss says, and I guess he was referring to Mr. Murdoch, he said, the boss says, if you look at it from the ground, way down on the ground, it looks like a rocket. And I thought that it did. So I think maybe that's it. I don't know. He could have been pulling my...
Well, he could have been telling the truth because it sounds like something Murdoch might say, but I never did ask him, so I'll never know. And, of course, he went up... You know, that radio station, I think it was Jupiter Broadcasting at the time, and it was owned... there was a deal with Esquire magazine, but it was another one of our mutual friends, Kent Burkhart, who had gotten him that job, I think, or suggested him. And
there was an umpire by the name of Ken Burkhart.
Yeah, no, Ken Burkhart was a big radio guy. He owned a little station in Texas, Rob, but he'd been a PD with stores and all that, and later went into consultancy. But I never asked. But it's as good as explanation as anything. And sadly, Bud Stagg's been gone over a decade now, about a decade.
Yes, I know. But I would listen to him, and I would be amazed because he did. Midnight to 6 in the morning.
Right. Well,
that's
what everybody did back then. If you did overnights, you did midnight to 6. It was always the case.
Wow.
Yeah.
My hat's off to you, if you did that.
Oh, yeah, I did that a long time, of course. Midnight to 6 was a normal overnight air shift. Sure, did that at WIBC and in several other places.
I'd stumble all over myself and wet my pants
those are kind of comfortable hours for me. But, you know, 6 hours is a long time, but, you know, you're playing music. So, you know, the hardest thing is to pay attention. So
no doubt.
Yeah, you know, I'd drift off, be thinking of something else. The records would end. I think, gee, the disc jockey ought to change the records, and then I realize, oh hell, I'm the disc jockey. Yeah.
when it comes time to for potty, you play In a God of the Vita.
Well, I wasn't going to get to play that, but that was always a problem for girls because most of these studios, especially if they were in multi-floor buildings, they never put the girls' room next to the studio because they weren't expecting women disc jockeys.
Oh, so you had to play something low
well,
like
you,
that?
No, you just had to sprint. But I remember because you know the most you were going to get on those MOR records was maybe 4 minutes if you were lucky. But you know you'd sprint upstairs, and I remember at the WIBC building, which was 2835 North Illinois Street in Indianapolis. But the way that building was, the stairwell was like glass floor to ceiling for two floors, so you would see out onto Illinois Avenue. Well, one night it was just raining, just all Dickens, and they always had in the building a picture of Richard M. Fairbanks, who starred the station, and with a little light on it. Well, with the thunderstorm and all that, what it looked like Richard M. Fairbanks was levitating outside in the parking lot. And I'll tell you what, I'm coming down those stairs, I practically fell down them when I saw this, you know, and I thought, oh damn, he's out to get me, he's heard one of the brakes, you know. So
do you even have did you run your own board?
Of course.
Wow.
Of course.
That's talent.
Well, I also, it's not talent. Almost everybody was combo. But because it was directional, that was one of the reasons they hired me. I had a first class license, so I was technically the engineer on duty during my course.
Oh, great.
And so I remember one time we had a total power failure. And so, of course, nobody had kept up with a generator to do the weekly tests. So I go down to the basement. I slog in several inches of water. And the first thing I think is I'm going to electrocute myself one way or another here. I just know it. Well, anyway, I turned it on, but it had been so long since anybody turned it on that, yes, it was like a brownout. Like, the carts wouldn't play up to speed. The turntables wouldn't play up to, you know, it was like that.
Yeah,
and so
they were lagging.
Oh, they were lagging terribly. And I remember at that point, I thought, I got to do a talk show. And so I'm doing this. It doesn't occur to me like 10 minutes later to start again, right? So I'm talking for like a half hour till somebody gets in there and, you know, starts a cart and it plays fine. I'm like, I should have thought of that. So,
everybody's entitled to one.
Well, it was,
now and then.
Yeah, it was just terrible. You know, I had no idea what to say as far as that goes. I said, I got an Imitation of the Supremes. I do all three at once. You know, I mean,
doesn't happen often.
Yeah, right, so. Right. But,
all right. Thank you, Rob.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
All right. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. And so how about that? Now, this is terrible. I know we got Bobby Peterson, Irresistible You, and the Statler Brothers. Do you remember these? And I forgot who requested them. But I did remember the songs. However, coming up next is Understanding, because I said I'd play that for Marlo, coming up on WGN Radio.
In the world.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that's Understanding by Marlo. Yes, 2022. And that, I think, also is available on CD, baby. And, yeah, it's from Marlo Lanier Wants You to Enjoy Yourself. Indeed. And we did. So 888-876-5593. Johnny D is in Ohio. So congratulations to Johnny D's family. You have a new college graduate.
Yeah. Hi, Raleigh. So you got that, huh? You got that email.
Got all the pictures, wonderful pictures of the family, as usual. Just you're a very lucky man.
Yeah, I guess I...
You did something...
How do they say you got to count your blessings or
something
like that?
Yeah, and you did something really right.
I did something right?
Yeah, because they all look wonderful.
Oh, yeah, that's my nephew, my nephew's son graduated from The Ohio State University.
Yes. Yes, in business. Very good.
What was the name of that school again? Fishers?
Yeah. No, that is The Ohio State University. You got a business degree. That's very good.
Yeah. Yeah, he already started a job. His father, you know, just something to be said for nepotism, I guess.
Yeah, so he was in Fisher College of Business. That's what you were asking about, yeah.
Fisher College.
Yeah, the Max M. Fisher College of Business.
I don't know that. What's the Max M.?
Well, then Max M. Fisher, obviously. That's who they named it after.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just asked my brother.
You know how they do that. He was a philanthropist and a businessman, and obviously he funded it. He was an alumnus of Ohio State, and he raised a lot of money for them. So that's why they named
Bags of cash, huh?
Yeah, that's why they named it after him.
When you were talking about... well, firstly, I want to say it's good to hear Marlo in one of his songs. It sounded like that last one you played, there was a difference from what it was on YouTube. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Some more voices. He must have did something to it. I don't know.
Well, I got
like
mine directly
song.
From Marlo. It's been a while, so I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, good to hear him. He's singing that song. Okay.
Yeah.
But, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah, when you were... talking about, did you ever hear of a guy called Boots Bell?
Boots Bell?
Yeah.
Where was he?
He was a disc jockey around here in Youngstown.
Okay. In Youngstown. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely in Youngstown. And you're talking about, I'd say, really through the 60s. But the weird thing about him, the only thing I know about him is he was a college professor also, but he was on HOT.
Yeah, yeah, he was. He did all the... he did a lot of the, what do you call them, Zockoffs?
Yeah. Oh, a lot of appearances. Yes. Yes. You betcha.
Boots Bell.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Color Channel 15. That's right. Color Channel 15, WHOT. Radiant Radio.
Right. You know everything, Raleigh. I tell you. You know a lot.
I don't know a lot, but I know radio. That's about it.
Radio. Yeah. Well, you know radio for sure.
All right, well, hang on a minute. I know you've got some requests, but I've got the news, so don't go away. Stay right where you are, and we'll pick it up right here on WGN Radio.
Oh, it's so nice to be with you. I love all the things you say. You're gonna be me in every way. Oh, it's so nice to be with you.
That's Gallery Nice to Be With You, right, too. 303 at WHOT. The Boots Bell Show, looking round at 40 degrees of temperature. Hey, the number 10 tune on...
W-H-O-T.
For the year 72 was America's horse with no name, number 10.
On the first part of the journey.
That's a horse with no name. That's so great. That's America. The year was 72. Horse with no name, number 10. I'm Boots, 305 at WHOT. 40 degrees on the Boots Bell Show. Good show. Lake Milton Fish and Game Club's Wally Tabor Show, January 6th. That's this coming Saturday, 8 p.m., Austin Don Middle School.
Girls, you got that special ring for Christmas.
All right, so enough of that, but that might have brought back a couple memories for Johnny D.
Like Marlo said, you were kicking my memory back.
Yeah, that was New Year's Day of 1973. They were counting down the top 40, and that was the last hour of the show. Yeah, on the big 1330 a.m. WHOT.
Yeah, Boots Bell. He had a real nice goatee, that guy. You know, I know.
It was really weird. It wasn't really attached to the mustache. I mean, the whole thing was kind of odd, but what can I say?
Well, yeah. I think he did that on purpose.
I'm sure.
Anyway. Yeah, but anyhow, yeah, so I like the way you opened the show when the fellow requested an Ohio Players song.
Yeah.
You know?
A fine song.
I thought, huh?
A fine song.
Yeah. And so, in keeping with the Ohio State University and the Ohio Players, I wanted to do the song Fire by the Ohio Players.
All right. I'll do that.
Okay, great. Now, the other night, one night last week or something, like I said, my mind works kind of funny sometimes, Rory. But anyhow, you mentioned the word sentimental, okay?
All right.
And so it triggered something in my head. When I was a kid, I used to listen to my dad sing songs, you know, around us. And he used to sing a song, Gonna Take a Sentimental
Journey. Sentimental Journey, of course.
Yeah, so I want to request that. I don't know who made it.
Oh, the Dorsey.
My dad used to sing.
Yeah, Jimmy Dorsey. But
okay.
Les Brown wrote that, and a number of people did it. But I can play the original Les Brown, probably.
Well, my dad was born in 1924, so
he,
I don't know which one he was
singing.
He
would know it. Les Brown was 1945.
Yeah, that was probably the one.
Well, like I say, it was one of those songs that everybody did. So,
all right, how about this one? I don't know, because I remember him singing this, too, and I don't think St. James Infirmary.
Oh, God. And we have that probably by everybody and their brothers. That's another one.
Really?
Well, you know, one of the problems is you're talking about the big band era, and for the most part, they weren't really selling records. They were selling sheet music sales. And so tons of different big band performers would do all these things with occasionally different vocalists.
Well, my dad just said St. James Infirmary and Sentimental Journey.
So I'm writing St. James Infirmary.
And I like Fire by the Ohio Players.
Absolutely. Les Brown did that for. But I think there. I just looked up Sentimental Journey. Boy, did I ever prove myself right. There are 409 different versions of this song.
Yeah? Really? Well, I only heard one. The one my dad.
Well, Les Brown probably, but then a bunch of the big band guys, like I say. But even Ruth Brown with the Delta Rhythm Boys, that's an R&B version of that, and really kind of nice. But, you know, the Ray Conniffs of the world and everybody else, you know. I mean, I think there's a version by Alan Freed's Rock and Roll Band. Yeah, give me a break. But, yes, and Dinah Shore and K-Star. So, Les Brown. Let me see if I can find that by Les Brown. And I'll look for that, and I'll look for your St. James Infirmary by someone or other. Yeah, because that's another
one. What does that mean? That's where we get sick or something?
No, that's another one of those songs that was done by everybody, but that goes back to the 20s. All right, that goes back.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, it's a place where you go when you're sick or what?
Yeah, I assume. And it was originally Louis Armstrong and Savoy Ballroom 5, but that's 1928.
Okay, Raleigh, well, yeah, if you could play them, I'd appreciate it, and thank
Absolutely.
You very much.
Well, we may not,
great American.
You too. We may not get to it tonight, but we'll definitely get to Fire, but well, if we don't get it tonight, we'll get the other two tomorrow.
Excellent. Okay,
all right, thanks.
Raleigh.
Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
All Bye-bye. Right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh, and we got Cleveland Dennis. What's going on, Cleveland Dennis?
Well, I'm a bit intrigued when Eduardo calls. I've listened to him for a few years when he calls to you. And I followed him from his time in the Chicago area, Midway, and down in Tampa. Seems to be always looking for a job, but I have a suggestion. My feeling is, with his, I'm going to say, intellect or capability, he should be in the logistics or transportation business. He could start out on a lower level, and I think within 1 year, whatever they pay him to start with, he'd probably double his money. People like him with the you know, ability to speak Spanish, correct, or Portuguese and English, he would do quite well.
Well, so let me ask you, where do you apply for those kind of jobs?
Well, yeah, okay. Certainly right around the airport. You go there, and it doesn't have to be an airline or an international freight forwarder or domestic freight forwarder, but a, say, a trucker that moves the cargo for the air carriers. And there's a lot of what we call time-definite service truckers
okay.
that are involved with the airlines. And they're always in, there's always a demand because it's not cut out for everybody. But I'm just saying, because I know the business, he's the kind of person that could get in
all
right. with a little patience and in the right situation, because certainly you could go anywhere in that in the business and get in with somebody, but it might not be the right company. You know, you got to give it a little bit of time.
Yeah,
make sure there's a good fit. But that's my general suggestion.
No, that's great, and you know you can try yeah. some of the ZipRecruiters of the world or whatever. But I just looked and I found a logistics call center rep in for Quest Diagnostics of all things, and
right.
So that's there, and looking at what they have for qualifications, so accurately pick up requests, well, you can certainly do that. Excellent verbal and written skills, yes, in two languages. Ability to demonstrate right. computer skills, keyboarding, I assume he knows that. Ability to maintain confidentiality, yes, I don't think he'll call the show and give everybody's health benefits and all that. Must be flexible, availability based on staffing, okay. Oh, it says 1+ years of customer service or logistic experience required.
Hmm. Well, yeah, that's what they say, but at the same time,
right.
you don't have to necessarily begin with the headhunter like
no,
that.
Yeah, no, no, absolutely. And the other thing is when you can demonstrate proficiency in other areas, and
exactly.
as far as education, they're only demanding a high school diploma, so it's not like you...
Right.
Got to have a, but there's a ton of logistics jobs. I never ever thought about looking at that. That's a great idea. I hope he'll check that out.
Well, I'm suggesting it because that's what I know. And again, listening to your great show and loving the presentation that you have and so forth and so on, and how you expand from not just about the music, but helping people and so forth and so on. And again, hearing him, I just offer the suggestion.
Yeah, no,
at the same time, I want to say this. The guy that called a couple callers back from Tennessee, did he not mention Black Oak, Arkansas?
Yes, he did.
I thought so.
Yeah.
I saw them live with Cleveland Public Auditorium about 1972, 73, mm-hmm. maybe even 74. I don't know, right in there. Right. But they were the... I guess the band that also played with or ahead of, they opened up for, oh, let me think who they were, but it was, you got to give me a moment here to get this right, but they smashed guitars and all that, and I just thought it was a very unique presentation that night, like in the early spring, like I said, of 72, 73.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, the who was the lead singer?
Oh, God.
I got no doctor. Marriott.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, Chickie Hawk was one of their singers. I remember him, that name.
Yeah, I'm just and, trying to
yeah, Ronnie
pull Chickie up
Hawk.
In my mind.
Jim Dandy was a...
Who it was, but it doesn't matter. Anyhow, yeah, I saw them live, and it was quite entertaining. Can even remember the fine points with my girlfriend at the time. I wore a red and white checkered shirt, and it was just a nice time. But really, that's all I got. I think I could make a request,
okay,
if I'm allowed to at this
sure.
point.
What you got? Well, probably tomorrow night. What you want to hear?
I love that you played the Hot Rod Lincolns. You know, yeah. that is super, yeah. super cool. But do you go all the way back and play Hot Lips Page?
May have some of that. Cause I got,
yeah,
I got
Hot
more,
Lips Page.
Yeah, I got more shellac than you'd think, but yeah.
Well, okay. But the last call for alcohol.
All right. Yes, I've heard that.
Okay.
So I'll look for that. I think I played that, actually, so it must be on this computer because I think I have played it. But, yeah, Jim Dandy Mangrum, I think, from Black Oak, Arkansas, was probably doing lead when you would have seen him. But, you know, they were until 1970, they were the Nobody Else.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, they were just a backup band for who we went to see,
right,
which was...
Well, they moved to Memphis and signed with Stax. And so they wound
up, right,
and then they went to L.A., and then they wound up being on Atlantic, and they were probably on Atlantic when you saw them. So they did a lot of fronting at that time. But back when they were just out of high school, when they were still the Nobody Else, they actually were sentenced to 26 years at the Tucker Prison Farm. They later suspended that, but what it was a deal where they had cleaned out a galvanized grain bin on the edge of town to use that for acoustics, and then began blasting out ear-piercing sound, so to speak, and they charged them in absentia with grand larceny. So that was their big...
For what?
Well, for cleaning out the galvanized grain bin. It was on private property.
Oh.
Yeah, so
interesting.
They later suspended the sentence, but initially it was in absentia, and they gave him 26 years and all that. And so at that point, they were living in the hills of north central Arkansas, and ultimately moved to Mississippi, of all things. And then, of course, like I mentioned, moved to Nobody Else. Moved to Memphis. They were still Nobody Else when they moved to Memphis, and
well,
a stack. So yeah,
that's why they want to break the law in the South.
Well, yeah, and then not be there to defend yourself. Yes, that was a little problem.
Good grief.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, right. I'll stay up here, and yeah, okay. So if I could hear that, or Poor Jenny by the Everly Brothers.
Oh, don't you love that? Yeah, absolutely.
I do.
That's Boudlow and Felice Bryant at their finest. So, yeah. All right, you got it. We'll do them.
Thank you.
Thanks, appreciate
it. Love the show.
Good to have you listening always and calling. Talk to you soon. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. And I did promise the Bobby Peterson and Sattler Brothers, so I think we'll get to Bobby Peterson next on WGN Radio.
Your magic hand. Could make the devil fall in love. It's true, yeah. Irresistible you. Oh, come on. Let's dance a while. I wanna talk. I wanna talk to you, honey child, 'cause you've been blessed. And you're much too much. There's the wonder of love.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, Bobby Peterson at his finest on the Tone, 1956, Irresistible You. And actually, Luther Dixon wrote that. And it was published by Lloyd Price and Harold Logan. Yeah, so there. So that's the deal with Irresistible You. And I wish I remembered who requested it, but they also requested the Statler Brothers. Do you remember these? And we'll play that next. All right, I'm so sorry. All right, we got Robert in Stickney. And what are your requests, Robert?
Yeah, I was thinking of country, you know, tonight. I just had a great request came to me. Larry Gatlin from Gatlin Brothers. Mm-hmm. Boy, what a voice he had. Mm-hmm. A song called "I've Done Enough Dying Today." Boy, the notes he hits in that song. Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We will do it.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. So I'll probably be tomorrow night, but sure. Why not? Actually made Larry's first promotional film. That's a story. All right. All right. We'll leave that there. And we'll go to James on the south side, and we'll start in with his 4,832 stories. So actually, we're down to a more dozen, a nicer number. So, James, how are you tonight?
I'm doing okay. I fell asleep yesterday.
I wondered, yes, because we missed hearing your dulcet tones, so I'm glad that all is well.
Okay, well, how are you?
All right. Can't complain as far as that goes. But yes. Young aspiring chef falls from seat before plane takes off. All right. Now, granted, this is not America. This is Melbourne, Australia. But yes, this is one of those odd stories. Qantas Airlines, big airline. We have Manpreet Kaur, who was going to be a chef, boarded the aircraft, going to go from Melbourne to Delhi on June 20th. She actually, but the first time she'd see her family in 4 years, 24 years old, fell out of the seat and dropped dead. What is the deal?
That was a very strange one, and there's no follow-up stories. So I kept trying to scroll for a story, right, and I didn't really find a follow-up.
The only thing I saw was that they were under the belief that she might have died of tuberculosis, but they never explained why they might have thought that.
Yeah, that would have, if that had been the case, I would have been worried for the passengers.
Yeah, well, everybody. Yeah, exactly. So that was in the New York Post. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. We'll pick up a few more of these coming up on WGN Radio.
Saturday morning, serials chapters 1 through 15. Fly paper, penny loafers, Lucky Strike green. Flat tops, sock hops, Duty Baker, Pepsi, please. Do you remember these? Cigar bands on your hand, your daddy's socks roll down. Sticks, no plugs, and aviator caps with flaps that button down. Movie stars on Dixie cup tops and knickers to your knees. Do you remember these? The Hip Parade, Grape Truade, the Sadie Hawkins Dance, Pedal Pushers, Ducktail Hair, and Pegging Your Pants, Howdy Doody, Tutti Frutti, the seam up the back of her hose. Do you remember those? James Dean, he was keen, Sunday movies were taboo. The senior prom, Judy's mom, rock and roll was new. Cracker Jack Price, stars in your eyes, ask daddy for the keys. Do you remember these?
The boogeyman, lemonade standing, taking your tonsils out. Engine burning, wait your turn, and four foul balls, you're out. Cigarette loads and secret codes and saving lucky stars. Can you remember back that far?
To boat neck shirts and fender skirts and crinoline petticoats. Mom's a word and a dirty bird and a double root beer float. moon hug caps and loud hill taps, and he's a real gone cat.
WGN Radio. I'm Robbie James. Do you remember these? Well, when they were singing this, this is 51 years ago, so the chances are good. Not as many people are left who remembered any of them. All right, but then there's the rest of us. All right, Mercury Records, 1972. The Statler Brothers wrote it. Jerry Kennedy produced it. Now back to James on the South Side. So I tried during the news to see, do I have anything else? Because saying that you suspect a passenger died from tuberculosis usually leads to you're going to contact every damn passenger on that plane. And I can't see anything about this. There's like no word. So I don't know.
Yeah, and I went through a couple of places through it. I'm like thinking, this, okay, to say something and then you label something that, and tuberculosis, even now in the age of modern antibiotics, is nothing to sneeze.
No. In other cases, when there have been people with tuberculosis on flights, not necessarily dying on them, but just being on them, they have always contacted every one of the passengers as far as that goes. And so they rendered medical aid before the plane took off, but and all they say is the cause of sudden death is suspected to be tuberculosis. Well, I'd hate to be her seatmate. So
that just seems like is there some sort of miscommunication here, or somebody missed the memo?
Right. Or what part of the story are they deciding to leave out? So I can't imagine.
And I think the only reason they're throwing tuberculosis is because of her age. They say,
well,
now, for somebody who's young, healthy, at the prime of his life, to just simply drop dead, usually there's not too many things that you kind of go with that they see happen for somebody at the prime of their life.
Well,
here's
the problem with that. There are things, it could have been listeria, for God's sakes, or whatever, but they picked something that's highly communicable. I can't imagine. I mean, that would be as irresponsible as you can get to just say, well, it must have been tuberculosis. Did anybody know if she had any symptoms of tuberculosis?
No, and I don't think she had. I'm not being there, but I would think that, the symptoms, she had symptoms. People, especially if the cough and certain other things, that would basically give away a lot, especially if that were of the lungs, which would be as far as tuberculosis types that would basically lead to quick death.
Yeah, so it's hard to say.
The one in the lungs.
So this is now 48 hours later, and absolutely nobody is talking about whether there's been a follow-up.
Yeah, and I would love to know if they've done a postmortem or anything else.
All of that. And so we're just suddenly everything's gone cold on that I can find anyway. So it's hard to tell. All right. So interestingly, there were a couple things I couldn't see because they were videos, so I couldn't see those stories, but can't do that. But gaslighting, that's sort of an interesting subject. And, of course, this is just one of those articles saying psychologists advise you be on the lookout for this. But, you mentioned gaslighting. I think most people don't even know what it is.
Oh, no, because guess what? First off, there's the question of whether they know how to spell it.
Well,
that's
great. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that.
Yeah, because guess what? Our guaranteed rate has dropped the first part of their name because people couldn't spell guaranteed.
Oh, God. Well, you know, it's funny. I played Bobby Peterson earlier, Irresistible You, which is a great record. But if anybody's going to be looking for it, you have to misspell Irresistible. Because on the label, it's Irrestable, not Ible. So you say, or like Collectibles Records, they never spelt that right. It was Ables, you know, and all of that. But we'll assume you can spell it. As to what it is, when somebody makes you second guess your thoughts, thoughts, your feelings, your memories, which makes you doubt yourself. And
yeah, the famous movie.
Right.
With Ingrid Bergman.
Right. So it's emotional abuse, to say the least. And now they're saying there's an epidemic of this. Well, I, you know, I can see anything online, of course, but they're saying this is an epidemic within families. And I don't know if they're looking for a problem to find, you know, or if this is actually an issue.
It's hard to say, given what's happened, the pandemic and everything else. Hey, who knows?
Oh, as far as that goes, yes. You have to just leave all of that and say you have no clue. Anybody who has any idea what's going on with our government, good luck.
Yeah. And speaking of misspellings, there was actually a movie whose title was changed because they found out that people could not spell this. Okay, I know you don't do movies.
What's the movie?
The James Bond movie was called, License to Kill. The reason why it was called that, because the original title was License Revoke.
Right, absolutely, License Revoke.
But couldn't spell Revoke.
That's interesting, because I always heard that they did test audience and they didn't know what revoked means. They thought it had to do with driver's licenses. So, so
yeah, that's part of it, and they couldn't spell it either.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, the idea that it must have something to do with driver's licenses, that's hilarious. But yeah, and then, you know, then you come to the conclusion, oh my God, and they're voting. But regardless, license revoked. I'm not sure how you would misspell revoked. It's pretty straightforward as far as words go.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing really weird about it. Like some words in the English language where you would think of, okay, yeah, you got me on that one.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, so
there's nothing strange there. But, As we say, there's, English, okay, basically, I guess you could say, okay, there are 1 billion ways to go have a very strange conversation.
Yeah, I guess. And so we have a number of medical conditions, which are interesting, but now we have a nasty pillow sparking fierce internet debate. I can't imagine. Have we run out of things to talk about?
But, you know, it's a slow journalism day when they start talking about dirty pillows.
Yeah. Yeah.
It says the state of journalism has reached a new low.
Right. Right. And I would contend, by the way, that most people probably do have filthy pillows. They don't even realize it. You know, we're so busy about worrying about germs on a toilet seat. There's probably more on your sheets and pillows than you know, is on your toilet. But yes, for that to be a full article, it tells you they've run out of topics.
Oh, yeah. And then, of course, they said, well, we got to throw something in here where it's not about somebody butchering somebody for odd reasons, like the young lady who attacked her mother because she was keeping her darkness in.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
I'm thinking, tie the young lady up, put her in a dementor and just forget about her.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of that. Now, of course, tons of recalls. And the one thing I will say about recalls is when you hear about 40 types of recalls on some product, what's interesting is the company that has made the product has probably sold it under 40 different names. So when you're hearing recalls, if it's something you would normally eat, like, say, spinach, you might want to take a look at the actual list of how the product's marketed, because invariably, it's not the company that's making it.
Yeah, which reminds you of the famous line, to paraphrase it, from Austin Powers, International Food of Mystery.
free.
Yeah, I know. Absolutely. Well, the airlines specialize in that. They serve things at 40,000 feet that you've never seen on the ground. All right, so we also have more bad news, as you would expect, on an artificial sweetener, the same artificial sweetener we've been talking about. Of course, this is the lovely xylitol, which now, on top of everything else, causes blood clots.
Yeah, and I'm like, you think, wasn't this supposed to be such an easy sweetener? And now I have to worry about it like Jack Benny, your money or your life.
Yeah.
I'm trying to decide.
Yeah, good luck on that. So yes, as usual, lovely stories. Yes, and I'm glad you're sending less of them, because I'm missing things that I shouldn't be missing. So, like requests for
I found myself having to. Yeah. I noticed that I had sent you so many that there was some real gems that were just getting
lost. Right. So just pick a dozen, preferably from the United States, though, like the one from Qantas Airlines, perfectly fine to be from Australia, and no videos.
Yeah, okay. Right. Although there was a couple ones where...
Oh, I know.
It made sense, but you kind of wonder why.
Yeah, no, I understand, believe me. But when I'm looking at each time I get email, it's, you know, well over 1,000 emails, and I check it several times a day. So I got to find a way to get through this.
Yeah, because I realized when I was going back through and I tried to call out some of the ones when you had made the cut. Okay,
yeah.
I found myself, I cut about 60% of them
easily. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, a dozen gems is fine. The odder, the better. And always wonderful to have them. And thank you.
Okay, you take care.
Okay,
have a nice evening.
All right, you too. All right, so we'll get to Laura in Des Plaines. There's room for you, too, if you want the final word. If not, we've got 3 hours tomorrow coming up on WGN Radio. James, so that's for Johnny D. And more Ohio Players Fire 1974 on Mercury. All right. Now we got Laura in Des Plaines. Laura, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Riley. Getting back to the word gaslight.
Yeah.
You know, I remember the old movie, but, right. You know, it was Merriam-Webster, the dictionary. It was the word of the year last year.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't know how it came up again in whatever young people's vocabulary.
Yeah.
If there's another movie out or something like that. But I remember hearing that because I love words and linguistics and everything.
Well, no, what it was is a group of psychologists who were saying that it's the disruption of families, that families are gaslighting family members, one or another. I say they're running out of things to talk about, but nonetheless. So that was the context there. And, you know, I realize that it exists, obviously, but I can't imagine that if you look at the things that are going on in the world, that gaslighting among individual family members is probably not on top of the list.
No, and even if even if gaslighting among families, thank God it's not my family.
Right.
But even if it does exist, I never hear anybody use the word any longer.
Well, right. And of course, what we're really talking about is as simple as trying to get someone to doubt their own opinion about something. It can be as simple as it's a sunny day, and your friend there is saying it's raining. Don't you see that it's raining? Why do you think it's sunny? Well, you know, obviously that's pretty obvious, but when it's not as obvious as that, it sometimes does cause people to doubt. You know, also we talk about memory things like the Mandela effect and all that. And the other thing is, I can see today, when we see so many different things online, for instance, and some of which is just completely erroneous, and other things are not, but sometimes are labeled as being erroneous, that some people do start to doubt themselves. But again, I can't imagine that if we're talking about, you know, America in 2024, that problems of families is predominantly gaslighting. I'm not buying it.
Right, and that the dictionary would choose that as the word of the year, not the concept, but the word.
Well, I don't know how they choose that, and it may be. You know, you do hear the word come up, but you know, what was the? Do we know what the word of the?
I would think would say, "Oh, they backstabbed me," or they're.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, it's actually a little different than backstabbing. I mean, this literally is designed to get you to doubt your own opinions. You know, but
sure.
if gaslight was the word of the year last year, what were some of the other words of the years?
I don't know. I can't really look them up right now, but
okay.
Yeah.
Well, here we go. In 2020, it was pandemic. All right, now...
Okay, that makes sense.
Right, I understand that, too. Word of the year in 2021 was allyship?
What the heck is an allyship?
Well, what does it mean? Yeah, exactly. It's it's not a thing. It's behavior. It's advocating with others. Let me try to look it up, but I know it's an advocating... Okay. The actions, behaviors, and practices that lead leaders to take to support, amplify, or advocate with others, especially with individuals who don't belong to the same social identity and group. No, I'm sorry. I do not believe that anybody was saying that this was commonly talking about allyship in 2021. Now, it gets weirder. 2022, you ready?
Yeah.
Woman.
Woman?
Mm-hmm. Woman. Yes. And,
okay. Maybe I could see that when Cosmopolitan was first published or something, but.
Well, now there's.
Where did it come from now?
I don't know. There's another one, too, that different dictionaries have different lists. Words of the years. And so, apparently it was started in 1971 in Germany. And the American Dialect Society Word of the Year is the oldest English version and the only one announced after the end of the calendar year, determined by a vote of independent linguists. What kind of a job do you get as a linguist? I don't know. All right. So, who pays you to be a linguist? So obviously someone that I don't know. Then there's the
They were my favorite college classes.
Well, I'm sure.
And my professors, they could speak five languages and they baffled me.
Right. And that's fine. But independent linguists. you know, obviously it's the study of language. We understand that. But, you know, what job do you get as a linguist? I don't even want to go there. So all the things that will keep me up. But then there's the American Dialect Society. They've got other words. Their word for 2020 was COVID, no shock. For 2021 was insurrection. Now, for 2022, USSY, it's -USSY, USSY. I guess
I don't think I've heard it.
Any word ending in it? I don't know. This I've only got another minute of showtime, and thank God for that, because I'd hate to think really hard about this stuff. But
well, when I can't sleep tonight, I know what I'm going to be doing.
Well, then 2020.
Looking at these lists.
2023. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if I can say this one on the radio. Is the truth because of how it comes out. So we'll just, it's a pattern where online services and products experience a decline in quality over time. That's fine, you know, but if you read the word, you'll say, I don't know if you can say that on the radio either. So, apparently they all have their words. And, yes, so, but woman does, by the way, 2023 for that dictionary.com was hallucinate. I think they are. I think they've done it. They're hallucinating. So yes, but the one with gaslighting, that was Merriam-Webster's. So Merriam-Webster says that gaslighting is the word of the year. For 2023, it's authentic. And for right now, that ends the show. Thanks for calling. Talk to you soon. All right. So bye-bye. On that note, we thank Brett for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. Above all, I thank you for calling. If you didn't get in tonight, do it tomorrow night. And we will pick it up right there at 10 o'clock. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.